Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, including Andrew Farley on this edition as well. Of course, Basic Gospel is a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the important issues in your life right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's the grace of God that saves us. And when we talk about the grace of God, we're really talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's where grace is really made known to us and is manifested to us in His love. I mean, He is the one that is full of grace and truth. I love what Paul wrote in the book of Colossians about the gospel. He says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of grace, and that gospel of grace produces or bears fruit in us. It's an amazing thing. We think of it in terms of a covering for our past, and there are critics out there who say if you just teach grace too much, you're going to give people a license to sin. And yet when we read the Bible, when we actually go into the Word of God, we see grace in a completely different light. It is the very source of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Grace is everything, guys, isn't it?
Oh, you tell people to stop teaching grace, and it's like saying stop teach the gospel. You tell people to tone down grace, to balance the grace with something else, and it's like saying tone down the gospel. You're right, Bob. It's the gospel of grace. And, you know, a lot of times we're hearing, oh, well, grace is good, grace is important, but you got to balance grace with truth and stuff like that. And so suddenly we've got grace on one side and truth on the other side. Well, the truth of the matter is that we're under grace. And so that's the truth of the gospel. The truth that sets us free is the gospel of grace. They're one and the same.
Yes, indeed. And that's exactly what Paul said, understood God's grace in all of its truth. I love this idea of balancing out the grace of God. And so, you know, there's truth. A lot of people try to balance it out with law and that sort of thing. And the Word of God has already struck the balance, really. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. So God's grace, we respond to that by faith. And in that, relationship of grace and faith, we see fruit being experienced by all who buy into that. It's really an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love what you just said, how you balanced with grace and faith, because faith is our response. I mean, there is a human response. There's a human response that's needed, and that faith or that dependency on Christ is really all we can do. And so you say, why does this grace work? Well, it works because of Jesus. I mean, it's not like we just run around empty with a doctrine of grace. We run around full of the Son of God Himself. And so it's His life and His power and His fruit, His Spirit within us. And if that's who we are equipped with, no wonder we can afford to be under grace. I mean, the world can't afford to be under grace. They're still under condemnation, looking for grace, hopefully. But we're under grace because we are filled with the Son of God, and we can trust Him by faith to work out in our lives what He's already worked in. And what He's worked in is His own life, Himself. That's why grace works.
Grace does work, and it's good stuff, everybody. You hear it every day on Basic Gospel. Today, Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us and pose a question about this or some other topic. If you have a Bible question, good opportunity right now. The lines are pretty much wide open at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start out in Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to call and give you my perspective on the grace of God as a born-again child of God. I used to read the passage that stated that it's the grace of God that teaches you to say no to ungodliness. And I used to be perplexed by that until I finally understood that being under the grace of God sets you free from the law, where sin is your master. And being set free from the law enables me to be available to God to be used as he sees fit, because I'm no longer concentrating all my efforts on attaining the unachievable goal of observing the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, William, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, brother. You cannot please God apart from faith, and we cannot please God under the law. And it's not like the Holy Spirit is going to say, don't worry, legalist, I'm going to work with you under the law, and I'm going to help you keep the law that you keep trying to keep. No, the Holy Spirit has reserved himself for an environment of grace where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's why, you know, we need to be so adamant in our fight for grace. We need to be so adamant in preserving the gospel of grace as a message that people hear and believe and then live by, because it is this environment of grace where the Holy Spirit works. So you're absolutely right. I mean, Romans 7 says we die to the law so that we might live for God. So there's millions of Christians out there saying, I want to live for God. I want to live for God. How do I live for God? Well, it starts by dying to the law. And unfortunately, guys, you know, William, we've got folks today that are fighting for us to inject just a little bit of the law or just some of the law into the Christian life. And Romans 7 is telling us we got to die to the law in order to live for God. And Galatians 2, I mean, the whole point is I've been crucified with Christ. Crucified to what? Crucified to the law, so that Christ can live in me. So, you know, William, you're right. This life cannot be lived under the law. We need a total separation from law-based living. We're married to Christ. And William, he's enough, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just a little bit of yeast spoils the whole batch, right?
Yeah, you got it. Well, thanks for your call, William. Appreciate you.
His eyes will be open today.
Well, yeah, we hope that, and we pray that every day in this ministry, that people will continue to see what the basic gospel is really about. It's about trusting Christ, not something written on stone.
Yeah, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to bear fruit to God, which is spelled out clearly, love, joy, peace, etc., if that's not coming out of you, then you're not being led by His Spirit.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, William, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines, friends. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You know, guys, as an early Christian, I'd be doing a Bible study, and I would run across a passage of Scripture or a verse that I just couldn't quite get my arms around. I couldn't quite understand it, but I would have to wait a couple of days maybe to get to our Bible study, or to wait until Sunday school on Sunday morning to get the answer and pose it to someone who did know and could help me figure it out. Well, friends, if you're listening to this broadcast, you don't have to wait. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you right now. That toll-free number is available to you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. In the meantime, guys, a question from Daniel, who writes to us from Oxon Hill, Maryland. And this is kind of a short and sweet question. He says, I want to know about repent and repentance. Would love to know the definition and all that that entails. Repent and repentance.
Well, that's a $64,000 question. I think a lot of people would like to really know, you know, what the essence of repentance is. I think we throw that word around so often, and we really don't even know what it means. You know, it's just a simple, oh, we flash up a prayer, I'm sorry, that's our repentance, and I promise I'm never going to do it again. That's kind of our repentance, and we hope everything's going to be okay. But that's not repentance, is it?
No, Bob. You know, a lot of times when we read the word repent, it's attached to believe, repent and believe. We see that over and over again, because repentance has to do with our belief system. I mean, 9 times out of 10, repent refers to the salvation experience. And so what we find out is that we're turning away from unbelief and we're turning toward belief. And so, you know, repentance is not, hey, I promise never to sin again, Repentance is not, hey, I promise to prove my salvation the best I can through human effort here. Repentance is really saying, I was wrong about what I believe, and I need to be right about what I believe for salvation. And so I turn from unbelief. And this was very common in the Jewish world. I mean, 2,000 years ago, they didn't believe that Jesus was Messiah. And so when they were told to repent and believe, they were saying, I used to not believe Jesus is Messiah, but now I do. And so I'm going to repent and believe in the Son of God, believe in his, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what repent means 9 times out of 10. You say, well, what about that one? Well, yeah, 1 time out of 10, you can find the word repent referring to the actions of the early church, like in Revelation, you know, repent and do the deeds you used to do at first. They had lost sight of their first love, for example. And so sometimes the word repent has to do with actions, with the works of the church corporately. But, you know, guys, 9 times out of 10 here, repent is something that referred to that initial salvation experience. And that's important to understand, because I think it's almost like, you know, people use the word repent so wrongly today. It's like they believe that they're going in and out and in and out of fellowship, that they're losing their salvation, getting it back, losing it, gaining it. And this word repent has really been abused, when repent really is just a simple change of mind about something. But if you're saved, you're saved forever. So that's a big deal.
In one really important way, the entire letter of Hebrews is about repentance. Mm-hmm. Believe in Jesus. Stop believing in the law and the sacrifices. And if his readers would have done that, they were going to find the grace they needed. If they wouldn't do that, it was not going to go well.
Okay, well, let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Russell, listening to us on The Word right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Hi, Russell.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. What's on your mind today?
Well, I listen to your show every day, and I'll make it brief. I know we're on time. My father's a Pentecostal preacher, and I've been in church all my life. But in Pentecost, a lot of times you're either, you know, all the way or not at all. So I didn't go to church for many years because I didn't feel like I was good enough to go. Because, I mean, he does live very righteous in front of me, but I know nobody's perfect. So for the last couple of years, I've been listening to different folks like y'all, and just, you know, trying to live a Christian life and bear fruit for the Lord. But my question is, you know, I have an uncle that talks about grace, meaning, you know, you're going to sin all the time and you can basically just be saved and don't worry about it, go on about it. And I'm sure he intends me to live well, but, you know, you're not going to sin your way out of it. But then my father would say, you know, if you lie or commit adultery or things of that nature and you walk away from God, that you could lose your salvation. So I have sisters and cousins who don't go to church because they don't feel like they've led a good enough life for it. And I would just like your thoughts on that to kind of help me, after being a Christian, how to deal with those types of things.
Well, thank you, Russell. Excellent yes. question today. And sure appreciate you picking up the phone and calling us. And it's a big question, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Russell, you know, first of all, you just look at the hopelessness in the idea that you're not good enough for church, and that if you lie or commit adultery or mess up, if you stumble, that you lose your salvation. I mean, you wonder why your relatives aren't just, you know, flooding the doors, flooding the gates of a local church and just lining up to get in with enthusiasm. And I'd say, well, you've already told us why. You know, you've got this doctrine floating around in their heads that they're not qualified for church, that they're not good enough to attend the local church, that if they even if they did, that if they started to, then and their performance wasn't good enough, then they would end up losing their salvation anyway. So, you know, I think it's really important that the truth would set us free in this situation. So, number one, Russell, you're the church. You don't go to a church and try to qualify to go to a building called church. You're the church. You're a child of God. You are in the church already. You're a walking church. And so that's sort of a reframing of things, because I think God wants you to know that you're his kid and that he's your father and that you're already in. So where you go and sit down for an hour a week does not define you. It doesn't give you your identity. So whether you sit in a Pentecostal church or a Baptist church or an Episcopalian church or whatever kind of church, a non-denominational church, none of that gives you your identity or your worth or your value. So you're already qualified by Jesus Christ to go sit in a church building anytime you want to. As far as the grace of God, I mean, you're right to be concerned about someone who would abuse the grace of God. But the grace of God, Titus 2 says, it teaches us to say no to sin. So we don't want to be scared of the grace of God. We want to cuddle up to the grace of God, so to speak. We want to look to the grace of God, depend on the grace of God, because he will never lead us into sin. He always leads us into upright living. So you don't behave well to earn salvation, and you don't behave poorly to lose salvation. Your behavior doesn't get you saved, and your behavior doesn't lose you salvation either. We're saved by faith in Christ and in what he did, not in what we are doing for him. So, you know, I think there's probably a resource here at Basic Gospel that we could get you, and Bob could tell you a little bit more about it. But I think that a solid foundation in what the grace of God is really all about could go a long way to really assure you and help you in this situation. So thanks so much for your call, Russell.
One more super quick point. I know you got to go. So I'm actually in the ministry now. I do the music part of the ministry, and I even help out with some of the assistant duties at the church. And since I've gotten back into church the last couple of years, I really felt led inside to just tell people about God and tell them how wonderful he is, as opposed to scaring them and say, you know, get straight or else. And, you know, I do still do things that I feel bad about sometimes, like I might go out to a party with my friends. You know, I'm still young, and I feel like maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. But I feel more close to God now than I ever have. So I just wanted to make sure what y'all's thoughts were on that, you know.
Well, Russell, the gospel really is an announcement that God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This whole thing, God sending Jesus to us, he was compelled by his love for us to do that. This sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is a very tangible and real demonstration of God's love for us in action. Both Paul and John talk about that in the book of Romans and in the first letter of John. So that's the good news that Jesus wants us to know, that God really is love, and that he loves us so much that he wants to share his life with us. And that's what this gospel is all about. And it's that kindness, it's that love that tugs on our hearts and that draws us near to God so that we are willing to trust him. So you can't tell people enough that God is love. You can't hammer on that truth enough. We need to hear it over and over and over and over, because our natural minds don't think that about God. We think of him as judgmental. We think of him as mean. We think of him as everything but love. But that's not true. God is love. That's his very nature. That's his very essence. So go continue, man. Just shout it from the rooftops about the love of God. That's what people want to hear.
I accept that what you just told me. It went right along with what the Spirit's been telling me. And bless y'all and bless your radio show. You have my prayers.
Well, thank you, Russell. Let me put you on hold. We're going to send you a copy of a little devotional guide called 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's excerpted from my new book that's coming out in July, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. But it'll drive you into the Word of God. We'll look at some key passages that will really help you see just the bigness of God's grace, and that his plan to save us is by grace through faith, That's his plan of salvation, but it's also the plan of our day-to-day lives. That's how he works in us, by grace through faith. And if we will ever get a hold of that, we will see our Christian lives just exploding with all kinds of fruit that Christ is working in and through us. So you hang on, let us get some information, and we'll send that to you.
Overcomers, right? Okay, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Thank you, Russell. And, you know, we have tried to pound home the fact over and over that this broadcast called Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported program. We need your help, friends, to keep the good news on the airwaves, to get the news out that Jesus Christ is alive and his grace is sufficient for all of the needs of our hearts. We'd love for you to have a copy of this 12 Days of Simply Grace, a wonderful new devotional that Bob has written, and we would love to get one into your hands. And to do that, all you need to do is make a gift this month to Basic Gospel. You'll get a copy absolutely free, and we'd love to get it into your hands. So if you'd like to do that and you can join us today, just click Donate Today in the lower right corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net to make your donation and receive your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, click that Donate Today link, and we will be glad to get one on the way to you immediately.
Yes, indeed.
And we have a question from Maria, who writes to us from Stratford, Connecticut, concerning prayer. She says, okay, I know prayer is important and is the way we communicate with God. I pray and talk to him as well on a daily basis. However, I don't get why people pray for something, and if they get it, they think it was their prayer and faith, and if they don't get it, they think that they didn't have enough faith. What do you guys think about this?
It's a timely question. I think tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. Many folks are going to be gathering to pray for our nation, and that we will come back to our senses as far as our understanding of God and that sort of thing. But it does raise a question about the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, and really just what is prayer all about? If God already knows all of our needs, why pray? I mean, what is the purpose of prayer? What does God intend for us when he says to pray without ceasing, to always make your requests known to God? What's all that about?
Well, there's this true that God knows what we need. I don't know what I need. And part of that learning what it is I need is this ongoing conversation I have with the indwelling spirit. If I have the mind of Christ and the mind of Christ is trying to renew my mind, it's going to take a while. It's going to take conversation. It's going to take questioning. It's going to take asking, you know, asking for things that God says, no, that's not what you need. Let's talk about this. It's the beauty of the relationship we have with him. We're invited to communicate at any and all times about any and everything. And what a beautiful thing.
Yes, I mean,
and God changes us in that conversation.
Sometimes do you think we make a law out of prayer?
Oh, all the
you
time.
You know, that we put it out there, Lord, look what I'm doing. I'm praying. And so now you're obligated to answer.
Yeah, because I got 73,000 other people to pray with me. So right. Now you are obligated.
Yeah, you know, we look at God as a slot machine sometimes. I like to say you put in enough prayers and you pull down that handle and surely the yes, yes, yes is going to come out. But really, prayer is aligning ourselves with the heart of God. And Paul prayed things like, show me the riches of what I've already got in Christ Jesus. Show these saints who they are and the depths of the gospel and what it means for us. So sometimes I think we just need to be praying, Lord, I want to know what you've already done for me. I want to know what you've already done to me. And I want to know what all this means for me right here and now. And, you know, give thanks in all things because no matter what, we've got Christ Jesus, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Well, yes. I couldn't agree more, Andrew. Thank you for that insight. As we close the broadcast, friends, a couple of things I want to point you to. We invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. There are multiple reasons and benefits for staying in contact with Basic Gospel, and we want to share them with you. So just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. Also, there are many valuable resources, including 12 Days of Simply Grace that are available to you through the ministry, and you can get a copy of that for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. So I hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. Simply go to and click the Donate Today in the graphic in the lower right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net to make your donation, and you'll receive a copy of the new booklet called 12 Days of Simply Grace. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.